What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Chris Bowden, along with Scott King, the Chelsea blogger on WGN.com, WGNRadio.com. Good afternoon. We're coming to you or airing this or doing this. You can air it when you want. We're doing this, however, Friday afternoon ahead of the Blackhawks homestand finale. Five-game homestand wrapping up against the San Jose Sharks. Scott, first of all, I know you got a couple shout-outs. You want to get out of the way here first, so we don't want you to forget about it. Go ahead.
That's why I told you before the show, because right. I knew I might forget it. It's an important one. It's my parents' 39th wedding anniversary today.
They
listen to every show.
They love the show.
They do. I think they created iTunes accounts just for it.
Happy anniversary.
And they're watching my kids today, so I could be here with your fine self. So.
Well, I hope they're watching a little longer, so you have other things to do. Maybe with your wife or something like that.
Or go to the UC.
Yeah.
Have some lunch, go to the UC. But no, happy anniversary to them. Appreciate them helping out.
Congratulations. Happy anniversary. Yeah. We are, as we said, getting ready for this game against the Sharks. A little bit of news here that we'll pass along and we'll get to a little bit more later on. But JF Berube will make his first Blackhawks start, first NHL start in 11 months. He lasted that last March against the New York Islanders. It's his second appearance for the Hawks. He came out in relief in that game against Washington back in late November, early December, I believe, when Anton Forsberg was chased. So he had some health issues when he was sent back down to Rockford. Then Corey Crawford went on IR. Berube wasn't ready. And then Jeff Glass kind of leveled off his play. He was brought up a couple weeks ago. So Berube back in net tonight. And Jan Ruda cycles back in after missing the last eight games due to injury. Carl Dahlstrom is out on the blue line. But first thing we want to get to is the thriller after Wednesday night's thrilling shootout for the Blackhawks against the Ottawa Senators. It was the U.S. women's Olympic hockey team scoring late in regulation, then going to overtime, and then winning in a shootout 20 years after their last gold medal, the first women's hockey Olympic gold medal back in the Nagano Games. And I was glad the game stretched out so I could get home in time and watch them.
Me too. It was huge that stretched out for me. I had a bit of a detour. So after we finished our stories, our colleague John Dietz writes for Daily Herald, covers the Hawks for them. He asked me if I want to go to a bar in the burbs to catch it. So we get there. You see, Hillary Knight had scored the first goal on a power play late in the first. And then Monique Lemieux-Morando, one of the twins, scored mm-hmm. the game-tying goal 13 minutes into the third. So we got there. We were kind of watching the overtime. And then the bar around, it's like 12:45, said, you guys got to go. we're closing.
Please?
I'm like, do you understand this is overtime Olympic hockey right now? So I got home, and there was just a couple minutes of overtime left. Thank God. I thought for sure I was going to miss it in the car. Just 5-10 minutes, I was going to miss it. And I saw the shootout and saw the other Lemieux, Jocelyn Lemieux Davidson scored an amazing game-winning shootout goal that she called "Oops, I did it again."
Yeah,
which makes sense to me.
And it was her third Olympics, and after frustration against Canada in the first couple of opportunities that she had, she's able to win gold. She seals the deal. Actually, it was the goalie then, Maddie Rooney, who made the save.
Four of six shooters she stopped.
She was the Anton Forsberg from hours before in the Blackhawks shootout.
Yeah, two shootouts in Wednesday night, big ones.
Against the Ottawa Senators. But we were talking to Patrick Kane. The Blackhawks didn't practice yesterday, so obviously proud American, Mr. Red, White, and Blue, Patrick Kane.
He predicted they would win.
Who was
told me 4-3.
The NHL players unable to go to the South Korean games this year, but obviously he's such a hockey nut, and he went home and was watching as well. And I'm not sure if he had any wagers on the line like he usually has, but we talked to him after morning skate today, and listen to the words of praise that he has, not only for the team in general, but for Lemieux Davidson's game-winning shootout goal here.
It was an awesome game. It was so fun to watch. I thought there was chances both ways in overtime, and fun to see the U.S. tie it up there on a breakaway, and then, amazing shootout, amazing goal to win it, too. So it was a very, very entertaining game.
What about against the shootout move? What do you make of
that? Yeah, I mean that's impressive. I think he's scoring on an NHL goaltender with that move. That's just a great move overall. And didn't really know what she was going to do when she was coming down. She's kind of swerving a little bit, slowed down. Kind of reminded me of a move like Sam Gagne would do, where he throws it on his backhand and brings back to his forehand, and the goalie's on the other side of the net. So, and I know that goalie for Canada is one of the best. So that's pretty impressive. And under those circumstances, and in that big of a game. That's a pretty impressive move.
Yeah, Shannon Sabatos, I believe, is the name of the Canadian goaltender. And, man, words of high praise on that goal by Jocelyn Lamoureux-Davidson. And, you know, then there was the tense moment whether, you know, Rooney was going to be able to make the stop. And with that, I'm sure 20 years of, you know, built-up tension and anger, it was tons of relief for that squad and Team USA for the ladies.
A lot of redemption. I still can't believe that shootout move. You know, it had a cool name, but what it was is you fake a shot right at the goalie, go wide left, and then put it in on right past her skate. It was awesome. Yeah, I mean, everyone's watched it about 100 times by now.
Yeah,
it's a great goal.
And Joel Quenneville, maybe not so much. He liked watching rather than coaching, because I know after Wednesday night's game against Ottawa, with the Blackhawks having just two shootouts so far this season, he was asked whether he misses them, especially since Kane is so good. Taves had been so good. He was always the first guy going five hole on these goalies. Joel, not a big fan of the shootouts. He said, not so much. I like watching him on TV. I don't like being behind the bench. You got to be better in overtime in order to prevent from getting there.
Yeah, Kane said the same thing. He's like, I'll take overtime. I'll take 3-on-3 all day, I believe was his exact quote.
All right. So enough Olympic hockey talk, or maybe we'll cycle back around and talk about the amazing German team, which knocks off Sweden and then Canada in the semifinals.
You're fired up.
And here they are. They're going to be taking on the OAR, which is not a musical group.
An underrated
Olympic
band.
Athletes of Russia.
I saw them in college, Chris. Game. They got sick two songs in and stop the show.
That's good. Drinking too much before the show, yeah. I guess. So, yeah, it's going to be the likes of Christian Ehrhoff and Marcel Gotch for Germany going up against the Datsuks and the Kovalchuks of the world. But for the here and now, I can't get away from the guy, even though I love working with him. And I just saw him a couple of hours ago down at the United Center, and I'll see him again. But words of praise and applause once again for the one last shift for Troy Murray, who now joins us over the phone, and we're interrupted his afternoon nap, his routine, I'm sure. Troy, how you doing since the last time I saw you?
Oh, I'm sore and stiff from the other night. that was a strenuous one shift.
Well, look, Troy's not joking. I was around after you got off, and the first thing he said is, I'm tired. I mean, that's Troy, I have to imagine, you know, it seemed like you're getting fired up. I mean, you're putting a gear on. You put on what you always call the best jersey in sports. I mean, that must take some energy out of you, because does it seem like you're about to go play when you go out there?
You know, it was fun, and I didn't really know what to expect right off the bat, you know, when they asked me, and I was very honored to obviously be able to do that. But when it kind of really started to kick in is when I was standing down by the Zamboni entrance, and, you know, they were showing the video montage, and all of a sudden you're going like, man, you know, I'm heading back out here on the ice. This is going to be pretty cool. And it was really special for me just to get out there and skate around. You just forget as an athlete how much you appreciate and how overwhelming it can be when you get out there on the ice when there's 20,000 fans in the stands. It was really cool. I really, really enjoyed it.
I did a write-up and a behind-the-scenes photo gallery on Troy's big night. You can see it at WGNRadio.com. And Troy, thank you for letting me barge into your dressing room to do that. That kind of behavior that behavior gets you kicked out of most department stores, so I appreciate it. And now, did the organization, did someone tell you to go stand next to Taves, or is that kind of you had a good idea to go do that?
You know what? I honestly, Scott, I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, and Taves, you know, Quenneville usually starts them at home ice and on home ice more often than not. And I figured, you know, if Taves was out there, it would be pretty cool for me to go stand next to him and have the two 19s side by side, you know, two guys that went to University of North Dakota. So, I mean, I kind of had it in my mind that if Taves was in the starting lineup, that I was going to go stand next to him. If he wasn't, I don't know what I was going to do. I hadn't thought of plan B.
But, I was sitting next to him on a bench.
Yeah, but, you know, I did have that in my mind that I thought it would be really neat to have the two 19s kind of standing next to one another. And social media agreed with me. There was a lot of, you know, pictures and stuff and talking about, you know, the bookends. And actually, there was a bunch of people from back in the North Dakota days, saw the picture, and I kind of jumped on board that was pretty neat. The two Fighting Sioux, you know, former players were out there on the ice together. So it was good, and it was planned. It wasn't by accident.
I made for
in
an
my
awesome
mind,
picture.
Anyways.
Yeah, it made for an awesome picture the Hawks took.
Now, and you know what? It was funny because I had to go down and I grabbed my hockey equipment today after the morning skate to bring it home. And Taze was just finishing up, his routine whenever he was in the workout room. And he talked about that pitcher, and he says, "Yeah, I want to get one and have you sign it." And nice. I was thinking, well, in my mind, I go, "I want to get it, and have you sign it."
I will if you will. Well, you got to see what those go for on eBay, Troy. I mean, you can't be handing out freebies after a night like that. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh no. See, that's gonna be a one of a kind. I'm gonna tell Taves no autographing those pitchers, and I won't autograph any of them either. And we'll have one of a kind. We'll have one of two.
Extra 30 for an inscription if you wanted to made out to Jonathan.
Yeah, exactly.
hey, when the anthem was going on, though, I mean, you were shuffling those feet back and forth a little bit. Were the goosebumps reappearing? And I know you were joking around that you wanted to at least stick around and take the opening face off, but I would imagine the juices started flowing there once you got to hear your native national anthem too as well.
It was kind of funny because, you know, back in the day, I kind of did a little sidestep shuffle when I was listening to the anthem, and I kind of caught myself doing the same thing again. But this time, I think it was because my feet were sore.
Old habits die hard. Old habits die hard.
Yeah, but it was that, you know, to be out there on the ice, man, for the anthem. That's a once in a lifetime thing. I mean, it is really cool. To listen to, you know, back in my day it was Wayne Messmer and now Jim Cornelison. It's really quite an awesome experience.
Troy, what do Jonathan and the other guys say to you when you're out there? Do they just kind of give you a bump, or do they say a couple words?
Jonathan was good. I kind of stood next to him and we kind of had a little quick banter back and forth before the anthem started, and didn't want to say too much obviously when the anthems were going. I did feel bad, and I actually went and I apologized to Anton Forsberg, because when they said go on the ice, you know, you can kind of go to center ice. Jeremy Rona kissed the ice. I said, well, I'm not going to be doing that anytime soon. So I decided I would take a lap around and then, you know, give the bench kind of a fist pump and then go stand in line and join the players. Well, I went by the bench and I gave everybody a fist bump. And then it was Duncan Keith, it was Jordan Osterley, it was Brandon Saad. And Forsberg, I guess, kind of skated out to, you know, greet me. But I just wasn't even thinking in the moment. And after giving Jonathan Taze a fist bump and then Tommy Wingles, I circled around behind Tommy Wingles and got into line. And Forsberg, I left them hanging is what I did. Some of the people that I knew down there said, "Hey, Daddy, so you know the goaltender came out to give you a fist bump or a little tap on the shin pads, you blew him off." And so I had to actually apologize to him today, because he said, "Yeah," he said, "I took a step towards you and then you turned the other way," and I'm thinking, "Ah." So I felt so bad that I blew him off and left him hanging.
I'm sure he understood. That's a
awkward
pretty big
hockey moments. Awkward hockey moments.
I know, but for me, I felt so bad. I was just like, you know, it's like, oops, that's my fault.
Troy, the other interesting thing you said when you got off was that I was telling you what a good reception you got, and you said you didn't even hear it. You couldn't hear the fans. I'm kind of wondering if that's how it is, you think, for the players at United Center, like game in, game out, or was there something else where you just couldn't hear the reaction?
Well, it's just, you know, you kind of drown some of it out. I mean, it's pretty, I don't even know what the word to use there. But
you put your game face back on. That's what it was.
Adrenaline,
you put your game face back on.
You know what? Honestly, when you're playing the game, you forget about the crowd. Obviously, there's moments in a game where you can hear the crowd, and it fires you up, or, you know, whatever has to happen. But a lot of times, I mean, you're so focused that you don't know what's going on around. It could be five people, it could be 20,000 people. You're so focused in and then tune in with the game that you kind of forget what's going around there. I was too busy having fun and enjoying myself to really listen to the sound that was going on as far as the applause. But I did have an opportunity to I watched the replay when I got home, so I had an opportunity to see some of it, which was it was pretty cool watching it.
Yeah, Troy. Troy wasn't watching USA versus Canada women's hockey. He wanted to watch his replay over and over again. Rewind, play, rewind, play again, rewind, play. Hey, real quick before we let you go, we got a couple. You said AJ from the Blackhawks told you there was going to be a surprise with the music that he played. Was that something you thought of or paid attention to, or do you know what's because I forgot to listen closely to it also.
Well, it was Bruce Springsteen, which is someone that I'm a big fan of.
Okay.
I gave him a couple options, and he said, "What do you want to play?" And I gave him a couple options, and I said, "Surprise me." So he surprised me with some Springsteen. I had a couple other things in there as well, but Springsteen was. I like Bruce. I've been to Bruce Springsteen concerts more than probably any other concert I've ever seen. Yeah,
that's cool. And I already told you we need to reserve. Yeah, you need to reserve me one of the big blow up Troy heads that your family had in the suite. So
I thought Chris, I thought that the Blackhawks did that, which would be I thought just something that they put in the suite that they gave me, which was very kind of the organization to allow. My family and some of my friends to hang out in the suite for the night. So I thought that they did it, but I talked to Pete Hassan, who works for the Blackhawks, and he said, no, we had nothing to do with that. So I had to find out, and it was a good friend of mine, Mark Lyman, and his wife did that, made him up that day, printed them out. I guess that you can go to Walgreens or whatever it is, and you can have those done. And they went to a hardware store and got yardsticks and taped them to the yardsticks. So that's how they got into the booth. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, a few of them did make it home.
Okay, that's good.
Sure, I did ask Kane about your big pregame salute there. I don't know if you heard this before. Why don't you listen with us and tell me your reaction?
What was it like to see the other number 19 out there before the game?
That was great. I mean, Troy's someone that's definitely beloved in this locker room, and just watching his highlights there, it seemed like he was a fun player to watch. Obviously, we didn't get the fortunate chance to watch him, but. I mean, won the Selke Trophy, get up there with his hairdo at the awards, and looked like he had a little mullet going there. So that was nice to see him skate out before the game. I always feel when we have those situations, it seems like we come out and play pretty well right away. So I thought that was the case again tonight.
Do you think the mullet classification was fair, Troy? Do you think it was?
Well, I think they did show a few that. I mean, I had the real. Real mullet back
good
in
flow.
The day.
Good flow.
Yeah, I had the bad thing was I had a perm on the top of my head and a mullet on the back.
Hey man, Caner's day is coming. Caner's day is going to come someday. You know.
Yeah, but you know what? But listening to those comments and I did see some of those on social media. Very honored, that Patrick would say that I'm beloved inside the locker room. I have a lot of respect for those players and. I think maybe the last little part was a jab that he didn't get to watch me because I'm so old. So,
yeah.
Troy, another interesting thing he did say in there. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Troy.
No, I'm just saying, but it was pretty cool that Kaner would say some very nice things like that.
Another thing he said I thought was really interesting is that when they have the one more shift, especially on your night, they got to win. He thinks they tend to play better. He's told me several times, and I actually went back and looked at all the one more shift. The record's 5-2-1 during those honors. So do you think maybe if they had something like that in your day, it does translate into your game? And did you kind of feel that out there, the excitement?
Well, we really didn't have those type of. Celebration ceremonies, whatever you want to call it, back in our day,
it was the other way. It was the opposite way with some of the old time players.
Well, but I think it's to me, I love the history of the game and the tradition of the game, and I would hope that these current players, are in the same kind of mind frame that when a guy like Dennis Savard or an Al Secord. Brian Bickle, which was a more recent person, Eric Daze. When these guys are a part of the ceremonies, it's pretty special because it's something that I don't take lightly, the fact that I played for the Blackhawks and the organization and how good they've been to me. And I think that, all of these guys who come back, it really means a lot to them. And hopefully the players understand the magnitude of, for me to come back and all these guys to come back and kind of absorb some of the atmosphere that they haven't probably had in a lot of years. So it's really special for us. And I hopefully for the players, they kind of recognize that as well. And if that gives them a boost to play better or just gets them excited about it, all the better.
All right, we've already blown out your afternoon nap. I said 5 minutes. It's turned into 15, but 15 well spent. Thanks again for jumping on with us.
Thanks, Troy.
Congratulations once again. And 7 o'clock, pregame. See you up there.
We'll see you in a few.
All right.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Troy Murray, the former captain of the Blackhawks. And now color radio analyst supreme joining us here from almost 48 hours after his celebration, and a well-deserved one at that. It was a blast.
But you filled in for a while he was down there. I heard rave reviews.
I just did some of the sponsorship reads, that the endless sponsorship reads, which is a good thing. But nowhere near the X's and no's and dropping knowledge that Troy certainly can.
I was listening when we got back up, and I swear I heard you try to grab for some of his dough while you were... That you were, and you know,
his paycheck.
I don't know if I can
mean?
Argue against that. Yeah, because you did put the work in.
Yeah, I don't think he heard me though, so I don't. I don't think that's happening. And besides, the quality of the analysis, nowhere in Troy's range. What else you want to hit on here? I know we have a Facebook question. Jeff Fender on Facebook, how is next year looking? And you know, one of the things that we wanted to talk about as well is what the Hawks are playing for right now. And, you know, despite winning two of their last three, none of these other teams in the West are putting their foot off the pedal.
No.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Calgary, they may have slipped a little bit with Mike Smith being out now, although I think they came up with a victory last night. The Stars Kings game was some high octane stuff last night. Dallas goes into LA and ends up beating the Kings, who are scrambling for playoff positioning as well. It's funny watching the Pacific Division, because one day, you know, one team will be in third place and fall into a wild card, and then, you know, two other days there's going to be two other teams doing the same thing as they jockey for position. LA's been really aggressive here at the trade deadline, or as we approach the trade deadline, adding on guys. Kind of a surprising deal the other day, and that they got rid of Darcy Kemper, who was playing really well, but they get, you know, a nice young forward in Tobias Reeder, and they also brought in Dion Phaneuf, who has really paid dividends for them so far. But what the Hawks are playing for now is, you know, it's almost become a daily question for Joel. You know, he wants to see these guys keep their head down and keep playing hard and try and play spoiler, and it's such a foreign situation to them compared to what the last 10 years have been, as will the trade deadline be for the Blackhawks this year, that you know, it's time to play spoiler. He was mentioning that, including tonight, they have the Sharks three times. You know, they're in contention. They still have to play the Blues three times, I believe. Right. Colorado three times. So this is an opportunity. Those teams did damage earlier into the season on the Blackhawks and put them in the position they're in. Now it's a chance to turn the tables.
Are we finally saying, like, for real though, play spoiler? Because if you talk to Patrick Kane, he says, you know, they just got to go on this run. And you know, I don't think he's BSing us. I think he believes that. I think he's a real competitor.
Yeah.
I think 21 games left, but Chris? Like the last 3 weeks, they've been under a 1% chance.
Right.
To go. So I don't know. Are we allowed to say that now? Is it that far?
I think Joel's been saying it now for the course of within the past week now. You know what? That game against the Kings, you know, if they were to probably hopefully get a jump start with that big 7-1 win over Washington last Saturday night, so you're thinking, okay, is the narrative going to change here? Are they going to be able to string some wins together? And they came out the way and played the way they did against the Kings. You were there. I mean, what a 180 from two nights earlier against Washington.
Yeah.
And the Kings were coming off a back-to-back, I believe, too. And they came in and set every bit of tone they could during the course of that game. Blackhawks' pushback didn't come until the third period, and by that time they were in a 3-0 hole. So I think, you know, if they would have won that game, I think they would have gotten within 8 or 9 points of the second wild card berth, and you're hoping they string something together. And you could tell after that game when Joel spoke to the media, he was just disgusted. And I don't think you say throw the towel in, but I think he has a good grasp of what the big picture is right now.
Yeah, and I think more than playing spoiler, you know, I imagine he would and the organization would. I'd like to see the younger players get chances to develop. I'd like to see DeBrincat playing opposite Kane, playing more of a top six role. And, you know, he's been there quite a bit this season, but I think you just want to develop your younger guys, get them some good minutes. And I think you want to see your core players regain some confidence. Yeah, they're almost definitely not going to go into the playoffs, but I think why not finish strong? Why not play, regain the confidence and the purpose in your play that you had before?
Yeah.
So you have that going into next season.
In terms of Jeff's question on Facebook, how is next year looking? I mean, I think a better sense here, once the trade deadline passes, I have a hard time believing there's going to be any splash moves from the Blackhawks, but I could see a couple of guys being moved for contenders needing depth in certain positions. And, you know, whether it's, you know, a Wingles, I'm not sure if I'd want to see Ryan Hartman dealt, but, the, you know, that's another name.
I like
come
Wingles
up
on the fourth line, too, and local
yeah.
guy.
But the thing is, and I know he loves it here, he'll be a free agent.
But other teams will want him, and he's going to
be a free agent, and he could always sign back here. If the feeling is mutual on both sides, he could always sign back here in the offseason. If the Blackhawks wanted to bring him back, because, you know, he's one guy, you know, especially during when we have him on during intermissions on radio and things aren't going well, he'll say what needs to be said about the way the Blackhawks are performing. But outside of that, you know, he's always brought the effort. You might not be getting the production out of him. He had one hot stretch here, but that's not what he's brought in for. And, you know, so after the trade deadline, and Joel has pretty much also said that there's going to be a more of an emphasis on youth. I think you're going to see John, depending on who's moved. Again, I think there will be a couple minor moves, but then that'll allow John Hayden to slide back in. That'll allow them to bring Gustav Forsling back in. And, there could be, you know, one of these younger defensemen perhaps moved as well when the trade deadline comes on Monday. And so I think from that standpoint, Joel is committed to starting to look at some of the younger guys and put them in these actual game NHL level situations to see how they respond to it.
And I think that everyone's hoping that Crawford is back and healthy as soon as next season starts. And, you know, the brass probably already knows the answer to that. What's going to be.
And that's the concerning thing now, too, because he was on the ice two Mondays ago in Arizona. As we speak here, he wasn't on the ice again today on Friday. So, you know, we're approaching 2 weeks there. And even a couple days ago, Joel sounded a little bit more resigned that, okay, we're looking at the big picture here. I'm still a believer that if he does make progress, gets the green light, you want to put him out there rather than save him, because Stan Bowman, depending on how he reacts and how he plays, he has to know whether he has to go looking for a goaltender in the offseason. And this is also an opportunity where, you know, Forsberg and tonight Berube moving forward can see whether the organizational depth of goaltending is really being tested with what's happened with Crawford. And we were just speaking about the trade deadline, too. Connor Murphy, we were talking to him after the morning skate, and he pretty much confesses that he's among just about every NHL player who's kind of on pins and needles, you know, unless you're a slam dunk superstar, you know, as the trade deadline approaches, and that's coming up Monday afternoon. He gives us a little sense of what it's like for a player as those hours get a little bit more intense ahead of Monday.
Yeah, the deadline's hard. It's one of those things. I think it almost gets worse every year with the social media and Instagram and Twitter, and it's I think the hardest thing is the rumors about players and things that can come from nothing. And it's a funny thing with Twitter is anyone can put something out there that can mean nothing. So it's hard that way, I think, for guys just with the thought of the team being broken up in any way. You build relationships over the year, and it's hard to have anyone be traded, but it's part of the business. And I think everyone continues to play hard on the ice, and when it comes down to those last couple of days, you're on your phone a little bit just seeing if something happens, but you just try not to think about it, really.
How much out of curiosity you sometimes go into social media just to see if your name is kind of popping up?
Yeah, you try not to. I think some guys you tend to, you're sitting home bored, and sometimes it's so easy to do that, but like I said, there's a lot of fake news, use that term, out there that that people tend to throw around. It's just kind of the harsh reality that sometimes things like that do happen.
Yep, part of the business, and every professional, you know, with Major League trade deadline, July 31st, NBA's was a couple of weeks ago, just got to deal with it.
Now, I wanted to ask you, because you covered so many different athletes, like, what's your consensus? Do most guys try not to look?
I'd imagine they do.
You got to be curious,
I'd
right?
Imagine
because there's a lot of good reporters out there. You want to know who's asking for you.
Well, then there's a lot of bad reporters, too.
Yes. Do you know there's a fake Bob McKenzie?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think he had a lot of people mistaken mistakenly following him.
It's entertaining,
for a while.
Though.
Yeah, and but yeah, I think all these guys are very much aware, and I don't know if, as much as they say they try to tune it out, I think, you know, they're always on their phone going through social media, and you know, they may not necessarily follow the media on their beat. I know hardly any of the Blackhawks follow me, so
Ben Smith followed me after he was traded.
They go bored and are looking and seeing what the rumors are. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I say, I think I don't know how you feel, Scott. I think a couple of moves will be made. Whether you know it's some of these depth forwards, we already seen Kempney moved. He was the guy who was going to be an unrestricted free agent. I think. Perhaps part of the equation with Jan Ruda getting back in. There's theory there that, you know, yes, he is healthy now, but here are two games where if the Blackhawks are of the mind to showcase him, and if they're happy with some of the other young guys who have come up during the course of the season, whether it's, you know, the Dahlstroms or the Gustafsons, you know, and they see, if not as much, more potential in those guys than perhaps Ruda, who's an older guy at 27, you know, perhaps, you know, these two games could potentially be a showcase, but you know, I don't see much more of a splash move coming. Stan Bowman can always surprise us. I mean, he's done it in the past, but just in terms of the lay of the land here, there are some bigger names out there too that I think are going to be moved, whether it's an Evander Kane, Rick Nash.
Yeah. No, I think Anisimov's definitely get moved in the offseason. I think, you know, right now he obviously is a full no trade.
Right.
And that changes in the offseason. And it's kind of a good time to showcase. We got two goals in his last three games. He's actually won 63% of his draws in five of the last six games. And that's been his trouble kind of like the last season and a half, is his face-offs. But, you know, he's been on the wing with Kane. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He's supposed to be Kane's center. That's where they worked best. But not Schmaltz is Kane's center now. He's Kane's center of the future. And Anisimov really can't play into that third line center role. He hasn't really worked out there where they actually could really use him. So I just, you know, I think he still has some good hockey left in him. I just don't see him fitting into their system.
Yeah,
and especially these young guys coming up.
And plus, he has about a 4.5 hit, I believe, cap hit.
Yeah,
4.5. I think when that window opens up in the offseason, I think it's a 10-team list he can put together. So, I would not think he's going to waive his no trade here. Approaching the deadline,
be hard to get him to.
Yeah, but even so, whether he wants to get up and move, I guess it just depends on who might be interested in him and what.
Columbus was reportedly asking around his old team.
Yeah,
so you know, maybe they're interested.
And that's another team on the fringe now. And the Blackhawks will see them on Saturday night. So it's going to be interesting to see how much movement there is. I don't think there's going to be much of the Blackhawks. I'm more interested to see what else happens. And it's weird being in this position where, you know. You're stepping back and watching to see what everybody else does because you're not in the mix anymore year because Stan historically has been real aggressive, but maybe the timing on this isn't a bad thing as you know, they've given up their share of, you know, fairly high to mid-round draft picks in recent years. And it's an opportunity to restock here based on the situation the Blackhawks are in standings-wise.
I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to bring up here? Again, congratulations to especially Kendall Coyne.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Payless Heights, went to Sandburg High School. She's coming home with a gold medal. I know Hillary Knight did spend some time in her youth here playing some youth hockey. We live up in the Lake Forest area, and maybe there was one other Chicago area member of that U.S. women's team, but so happy for them, and especially for Kendall Coyne. Troy was talking about her fundamentally. Sometimes she goes into some of these clinics out in the area that the Blackhawks run, and he talks about how impressed he is with what she is able to do fundamentally, things he can't do anymore when he's out running some of those clinics, and really a great person as well, and so happy to see her come home with gold.
I'm hoping we can get her bring that gold medal on the show. She works for the Blackhawks, does a lot of appearances, so we'll see. But no, she, I mean, reminds me of...
Take a victory lap, Kendall.
Kenna Stroza, speed-wise.
Yes.
You know how fast she is.
Exactly.
Good for her. That's awesome.
So I'm going from memory here as we wrap things up.
Sharks tonight, who lost 7-1 last night.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I was watching... watching. I was watching that game, and it was okay for two periods. And then when the third period rolled around, the Predators put out the bulldozer. And if Blackhawk fans, if you think the Corey Crawford chant from Predators fans is the only time they do that, it's not. They were doing it to Arundel. They were doing that to Arundel of San Jose last night. That's the one thing I really. It's an electric building. If you've ever been down there,
I like to be.
And the fans are great, but the silly chant that they do, you know, after scoring a goal, the opposing goaltender, it's like, all right, grow up a little bit. Yeah. So
yeah. I like the shark aspect. I'm a big Shark Week fan. I like all that.
Yeah.
I was going to say about Dell too. You see, you know, you look, if you're following a team, you don't look at the score. You see your goalie made 39 saves. You usually be pretty happy.
Right. Right. And actually, he's been pretty good over the last couple of years. I think he was a rookie last year, played real well. I think he had like a 210 goals against or something like that, and had been playing well this year, giving them a good option when Martin Jones is going to play tonight, isn't in there. And I think last night was the first time in a while he's really gotten his ears pinned back. So, what was it, a 4 or 5 goal third period for Nashville last night?
Yeah, I think so.
So they're probably not going to be in too good of a mood here as they wrap up their own road trip. All right, I'm going from memory. I'm at Bowden Tweets. You're at Scott King Media.
You got it.
We have the Chelsea Blogger blog on WGNRadio.com. And Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page.
Just search for it on Facebook. You'll find it. You can also just do Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy.
Okay. And we will be back at you next week. We'll be able to discuss what moves the Blackhawks did make after some of the minor ones that they've made here lately. And we'll be interested to see that and also get a lay of the land of the rest of the NHL. And hopefully a couple of victories here against San Jose and Columbus as they wrap up. Then they'll have 4 days off before they play the Sharks again and they head out west for the first time. Really weird. Playing the Sharks for the first time in late February, you know, when you're used to those Thanksgiving trips. So speaking of Thanksgiving, thanks to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Troy Murray for calling in. And thanks to Scott's parents on their anniversary.
For having me.
For having you, but for watching the kids as well.
Huge thanks.
Come in and do that.
I like coming in.
We'll be back at you again next week. Thanks to Brett Jackson as well for running things technically for us because we can't do those things.
No.
Thanks for tuning in on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.